There we go, Brother Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, last week we talked a little bit about the resurrection. And there was one little thing I wanted to add before we leave the subject. But before I do, I want to talk just a minute about salvation. There's a few things that I hear a lot of Christians say that I don't think they quite fully understand, and I'm hoping I can shed a little bit of light on it. One of them is the statement, I'm saved by grace. And the other one is the statement that there's nothing I can do to get myself saved. Well, I think there is something you can do, and I can prove it with Scripture. Because the Scripture says, believe in the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. So what you can do is believe in the Lord. Now, that's a little bit tricky, because to just believe is not enough. And I can prove that by Scripture too, because it says the demons believe. And so if it was just totally up to God, you can't do anything about this. It's just up to God whether he saves you or not. Well, now, wouldn't God want to save everybody? So he'd just save us all if it was all up to him. So there is something we can do. Now, the word believe, I don't know if you've ever heard this said. I've heard it many times. A lot of people say your belief is 18 inches from where it needs to be. And that means that, you know, you believe in your mind, but not in your heart where you really need to believe. And so the word that got translated believe in the Scripture, in the Greek, it's the word pisteo, P-I-S-T-E-O-U or something like that, pisteo. And if you look it up, the meaning of pisteo is to adhere to cleave to have faith in, to rely on. So they took all that and summed it up into this one word, believe. So there's a lot more to believe than just the way we normally think of the word believe. Okay, it's all those things combined, adhere to, cleave to, rely on, have faith in. It's a much deeper thought. And I thought it was interesting that that word cleave to is in there. Do you remember when with Naomi and her daughters-in-law, it said Orpah kissed her, but Ruth clave to her. And when we talked about that the other day, the thought came to my mind, the Scripture that says, the wound of a friend is better than the kiss of an enemy. So anyway, this believe, now, if you really believe in the Lord, it says, believe in the Lord and thou shalt be saved. So we got to encompass all that meaning of the word belief. Okay, that's one thing. Now, the other statement, I'm saved by grace, okay? The key word in that phrase to me is the word by. I'm saved by grace. No, grace does not have the power to save you. Grace is involved in your salvation, but it's not the power, so you're not saved by grace. So we need to look a little further into this word grace also. And I want to show you this right here. This is the Thayer's Greek Lexicon, okay? And the word grace starts right here. That right there. And then you turn the page, and it's all that. And all that. a whole page and a half telling what the word grace means in each different context that it's used. And the reason that's important, I've said this before, but not all of you were on then. Let's say you come home from vacation and the dog chewed up all the drapes in the house and you say to him, "Bad boy." Then you look out the window and you say, "Oh, look at that 1965 Fastback Mustang. That thing is bad." So you see that word bad, the same word, not only has a different meaning, but an absolutely opposite meaning. Bad can mean something's bad, and bad can mean something's good. That's why it's so important with a book like the Thayer's Greek Lexicon. It tells you what the word means when it's used in this context, when it's used in this context. So, you know, most Christians don't care enough to really dig into what something means. And one of the reasons is they're satisfied to sit in the pew and clap. I'm not satisfied to sit in the pew and clap, and I hope you're not either, because we really need to fully understand what God is saying to us, because what really matters is, in God's word, we have to come to the conclusion, what does this mean to me? Right here where the rubber meets the road. How do I put this into my life? You know, that's what's really important. So what I wanted to say about the resurrection is Jesus made one of the most, in my opinion anyway, one of the most powerful statements ever made. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." Do you remember when he said that? It was when Lazarus had died. And Jesus came, and Martha, who was Lazarus' sister, was really torn up. She was weeping and just really in distress. And Jesus says to her, "Martha, thy brother shall rise again." And she said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." Now, that word grace, I'm saved by grace. The true meaning of that word, if you asked almost any Christian, what does the word grace mean? Every one of them would say unmerited favor. Which is true, but the word that got translated grace was unmerited favor in the second sense. In the more precise meaning of that word in the original language, that word grace meant the fruit of power. Okay, the fruit of power. It was really interesting to me that the word fruit was in there. The fruit of power. So what are a couple things that you could say about fruit that describes it? Number one, it's the result of something. And number two, it's what's produced. Okay? The fruit of power. It's like what's produced by the tree? Fruit. And you know now we're God's trees, right? We're God's, and you say, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, we're what's growing on the earth. We're God's trees. We're God's fruit. We're God's garden. So when God wants a sweet smell, he blows on his trees. So remember that the next time something bad happens to you and you respond in the right godly way, it's a sweet smell to God. So anyway, the word grace most precisely means the fruit of power. And yes, it is unmerited because none of us deserve it. Okay, so what's important to me when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection," what he was really saying was, This power that's in me, that I'm getting ready to climb up on that cross and die and release it into the atmosphere, this power in me can be in you. And it's not only what's going to get you saved, but it's what's going to resurrect you also. I mean, when you think about that, just think how powerful that statement was that Jesus made. I am the resurrection. Remember, in that same sentence, what he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. So in other words, you're going to sleep for a while, but you're not really going to die if you've got that power in you. You know, one little rub about that is you either have that power or you don't. There's no faking it. Okay, you cannot fake having that power. It's either there or it's not. And, you know, have you ever noticed how Jesus almost never answered a question straight up? Every time they asked him a question, like for instance, one time he crossed over to the lake without the other people knowing it. And they walk around to the other side and they say to him, when did you get here? And he didn't say, well, 3 o'clock yesterday. Instead, when they ask him the question, he tells them why they're asking. So, you know, he almost never answered a question straight up. And so when you talk about this power, another time it happened was they came to Jesus and they said, there's a couple Greeks that want to see you. And Jesus, he could have said, well, tell them I'll be out in 5 minutes, or tell them I don't talk to Greeks. Instead, he gives them the strangest answer. They come and they say, there's a couple Greeks that want to see you. And Jesus says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You know what Jesus just said to him? He said, you want to see me? You can, but you're going to have to die. And I don't mean die buried in the ground. I mean, you're going to have to die to this carnal, fallen nature that's in every one of us. You remember when it said, if you hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. And if you lose your life, you're going to gain it. So if this power is what's going to raise you, that's what we have to get into our lives. We have to get the power of Christ. And you remember in the scripture, it says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That word suffereth in that context means allows. The kingdom of heaven allows violence, and the violent take it by force. So you want that power? Go get it. It's not only available, but it's what God's whole plan is. It's for you to shed this fallen, natural, corruptible nature and partake of the divine nature with him. And I'm speaking to myself here too. We need to go out and get this power. And it's available to us. Christ died so that it would be available to us. So amen, brethren. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Lord Jesus.